Dearly beloved, I'd like for you to take your sword tonight, and let's turn up into Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Jeremiah 18. I struggled today as to what to preach, and God laid on my heart three messages. And I said, I can't preach all three to them, Lord. We'll be there half the night. I said, you show me which one. So I believe this is the one that God wanted me to preach tonight. So you pray for me. Let's pray for each other. And I believe this stands as a warning as to why we are seeing what we are seeing in our country, in our families, in our churches today. 18. Jeremiah 18. Let's look at verse 15. Jeremiah 18, let's look at verse 15. If you have your place there, please say amen. That sounds good. Let's stand together if you're able to, and let's read this verse together out of our sword, the old King James Bible. The Bible says, because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. And they have caused them to stumble in their way from the ancient path, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you for these that have assembled themselves together tonight in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. And now, Lord, we just ask tonight that you'll have your will and your way be done in our midst this evening. Lord, be with those who are unable to be with us tonight for whatever reason it may be. But Lord, tonight we especially covet your presence, and Father, we just ask tonight that you'll be with us and guide us and have your way, not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. When you look there inside Jeremiah, you have to remember what Jeremy the prophet was like. This was a man of God that was sent out, and as he was sent out as a younger man, God essentially told Jeremiah, you go and you preach to this stiff-necked people. And Jeremiah said, but I'm too young to. And he said, it's all right. I'll tell you what you need to say. I'll be with you along the way. And by the way, Jeremiah, when you're preaching, nobody's going to listen to you. Really? Yes. If nobody's going to listen, why go anyway? Because the message still has to be told. So whether or not Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday, people here in this church listen to the message or not and do what we need to do, the point remains we still have to do our duty and bring forth the Word of God. Because God is not going to allow this people or those out there that are going to hear the Word of God, He's not going to let them sit idly by and not hear what thus saith the Lord. Because none of them will have an excuse when they stand before God. They won't be able to say, His children will not be able to say, well, Lord, I didn't know what to do. Because they heard the Word, they had the Word in their own possession right there to heed and obey. If we, the children of God, don't obey, it's nobody's fault but our own. That brings me to an understanding. Our country is rapidly changing. We've looked at the political spectrum a little bit earlier during Q&A this evening, and we are noticing that there is a very, very marked change in many young people that are coming up inside of the political spectrum. We would say many times many of them are going over to the liberal end of the political spectrum instead of conservatism. Many people are going over, even young adults, even my age, in their 30s. They're moving over, they're shifting to a cultural value set of standards and norms that do not line up with the Word of God. And so our country is changing. The fastest growing religion or faith in our country today is atheism. It's not Muslims, Islam. It isn't Mormonism, it is not Christianity. It is atheism. the statement of beliefs that says there is no God. Now we wonder, why is this happening? And that is all the more reason why we, the children of God, need to fight and pray for and be there for and make sure they are in the house of God, our children. I mean, when I see Max, I see Rahab, I see Isaac, I see Brian, little Brian over there, not Buddy Brian over here. But we look and see children in the house of God. We see Ryan. They need the house of God. They need the Lord. They need the Word of God. But so many today, so many out there, they are drawing young people in by anything and everything but the Word of God. I will never forget, and I know some of y'all heard this a few times, but I will say it again. I'm sorry. If it gets old, just ignore me for a minute. Anyway, that's not hard to do, is it? All right, moving on. Don't answer that. All right now. Years ago, I was listening to a radio station. It might have been 106.9. It might have been his radio back when I was in high school. And there was a youth pastor on there speaking for this church that was having some youth event. And he said, yeah, we're going to have a Bible reading. And then right after he got done, this booming voice comes on and says, and pizza. And he says, and then we're going to have praise and worship band and pizza. And then all these other games and this and that and the other. And every time they said something, the refrain comes back, and pizza. I'm saying, okay, is this an advertisement for a church service or for a youth outing, or is it an advertisement for a pizzeria? I couldn't tell the difference by the time it was said and done. Now, there's nothing wrong with pizza, in moderation. There's nothing wrong with that, but if that's your emphasis, if that's your push, if that's the hook that's going to draw them in, then you better knock it down that you're going to have pizza every time the doors are open. If you're going to go with a gimmick, you're going to always have to have a gimmick to get somebody to come in. That's true in retail, that's true in business, and it's true if you get it in the house of God. Why is it then we have a generation, seemingly, of people in this country today that seemingly think it is okay to believe in Jesus, but not to repent from or forsake the world? You say, what do you mean? What I mean is this, that if you name the name of Christ and you say it's okay, then to go out to an AC/DC rock concert, and there's nothing wrong with that, you have a problem upstairs in your mind. And in your heart. A few days ago, I was on Facebook looking around at the different posts. And then I saw a pastor in this county. And he quoted something, and he said something in there that had a curse word in it. And I didn't read anything about a caveat there. I didn't read anything about, oops, sorry, he didn't take it down. I said, what is wrong with this? What is the matter with this mindset that says, okay, I have Jesus, but now I'm going to go back into the world? Guys, what is it out there in the world that is worth crucifying Jesus all over again? What is it out there that entices us so much that we are willing to lay down the worldview and the value system of Christianity? Because the Bible repeatedly, over and over and over, says, be not conformed to this world. And you know what conform means? How many of you are familiar with Jell-O molds? Alright, maybe you're not. Maybe let's go a step further back. Maybe butter molds. Maybe I went too far back. Okay. Alright, Jell-O molds. Alright, you pour that liquid Jell-O in there, you let it set in the fridge, and you pop that Jell-O out, and it wiggles around. It looks like whatever it is. It's like, let's try another one. Let's forget the Jell-O. Let's do a cake pan. And you pour the batter in there, and you pop it in the oven, and bing! Or, I don't know, the sound you might hear, eeng, 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 stop it, I'm just cooking. So you pop that out, you run the knife around there, and then you pop it out. Now that cake batter has taken on the form of that cake pan. The bundt pan, the casserole dish, whatever it may be. And see, that's the understanding there of that scripture. That when he says, don't be conformed to this world, to be conformed is to be put in the mold of. Okay? Now guys, you've got to understand this, that the world is of the kingdom of darkness. Christianity is the kingdom of light. And the scriptures tell us that the condemnation of the world is that they have heard the word, the light is already coming to the world, but men love darkness more than they love light. You say, what does that have to do with me? It could have to do with you, everything. And me too. Because the world, guys, has a way of looking at things. And the world has to offer what? Movies? TV shows? Books? Games? You name it. Clothing? A way of talking? A way of dressing? A way of identifying themselves? So guys, the world out there has a message. And the world's message always, always, always will go against the Word of God. Always. The thing we have happening now is we have people inside of our churches trying to pull out from the world and put it into the church. And so tonight I want to show you five things that result in a forgotten God. Notice again our text in Jeremiah 18:15. Notice what it says. Because my people, this is not lost people. This is the people of God. He says, because my people, the people of God, he says, have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. When you burn incense to vanity, that is doing a worship service. That is a worship service that is worshiping in the name of God, but God is nowhere around there. Next, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. The ancient paths, the ways that were once delivered. Part of the ancient paths is right here in this book, the King James Bible. When a church congregation says, away with the King James Bible, and they bring in the NIV, they bring in the ESV, they bring in whatever V out there they want to, I guarantee you that V will not indicate victory. They say, well, we don't like the old hymns. Why not? Because they're too slow. Because they're too boring. That child right there I got on. Music is a language already. Right, David? Right, Brian? I got music majors in here. They know what I'm saying. But what you hear them out in the world say, well, music is neutral until you put words with it. That is not true. Music is a language. For example, there was a test done several years ago. And they took people and they stuck them in a room over here, and then they took people and put them in a room over there. In one room, they played classical music. They told them, talk to each other, interact, read, do something. The people over there were fine. They didn't have headaches. They didn't have raised voices. They didn't have blood pressure problems. It was all fine. The nice, soothing classical music. On the flip side, they had the blaring rock and roll music. And I'm not talking rock and roll Elvis Presley. I'm talking about your heavy metal and metal out there and this racket. They were hollering at each other. They were mad at each other. Their blood pressures were going up. One man almost had a heart attack. Why? Because of the beat. That beat will begin to syncopate your heartbeat if you're not careful. And that will begin to make your head drum like a thump, like a drum. No, beloved, music is a language of itself. And that is why there are certain types of music that are for worship, and there are other types of music that are not for worship. The problem with many of our modern day churches is they are losing what they call classical worship, traditional worship, and they're going over to either contemporary worship or what they say is the happy medium, the blended worship service. My mother-in-law and father-in-law used to go to one of the oldest churches in South Carolina, in the upstate. My great-great-great-grandpa went there, and he was one of the members there for many, many years. I have a lot of family still down there to this day. And when my brother-in-law was ordained as a deacon, they called me to go down there and preach the charge to him, and I preached before 400 people in that church. And because they had so many people, they had to split and do two different services. And so the early morning crowd, they were the elderly people, and they got Amazing Grace, Victory in Jesus, How Great Thou Art. Everybody else at 11 o'clock, they came in and got what they called the blended service. I told my mother-in-law and father-in-law, I said, you mark it down right now. There will come a time in the future, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, but there will come a time in the future when suddenly they will change and they will go back to one service, and it will no longer be the hymns of the faith that we all know and love of many, many years ago. It will become all of one type of worship style. And about a year and a half later, the time changed, and what happened? The morning crowd, tough luck, you're out of luck. They went all over to one style. They did away with tithing. They were removing, guys, the old path, the old ways. Many churches, you look at it today, look at it on TV, tell me what you don't ever see. The altar. You don't see the altar because this is where people for many, 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 many years have come and prayed and wept tears at the altar, and lives have been changed at the altar. They have thrown away the King James Bible. They are throwing away the music of the faith that has moved souls, that has been anointed by God down through the years. And they are taking away the altar. And many of them are also taking away the pulpit. All they got is something that looks like a skinny old little old thing back here. The lectern. Why don't they like... The devil don't like that. Why don't they like... Hand me that batter in that drawer, that Duracell. The reason they don't like the pulpit is because the pulpit is the area of authority. So again, guys, what causes all this inside of a church? What causes that is simple. It's number one. The reason that we are seeing a forgotten God among the people of God is first and foremost because of spineless pastors. That's why. Spineless pastors. They will not rear back and preach the Word of God. They will not rear back and call sin, sin. But rather, they will pat everyone on the head. They will say what is popular. They will say what won't get them in trouble, quote unquote. And therefore, they will run along and just teach along and just do their little thing. Instead of dressing in a suit and tie or even having a tie at all, they'll dress up in blue jeans and they'll get up a lazy boy, or they'll get some type of cheer up there, and they'll just sit and talk to everyone. Why talk? Because it's not offensive. It don't drive people away. And what many of these churches are doing, guys, is they're doing all this for one reason, and they are calling it to make a seeker-friendly church. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means if they are wanting the lost man to come in and feel like he's at a concert, to feel like he's at a 7-Eleven, to feel like he's somewhere, anywhere but church. Because we won't preach, and the preaching isn't confrontational. You won't feel convicted. And the music is wonderful. You will feel uplifted. Well, how in the blazes can you feel uplifted by music that supposedly is worshiping Jesus? And supposedly has a message about Jesus, but yet you're not convicted of your sin? But yet you can sing along and praise Jesus and you're lost? Something's wrong there, guys. Now, I'm not saying every single song out there modernly today is wrong. I'm not saying that. Some of them are out there good. But what you've got to do, guys, as I said Sunday, you've got to go back and see where the heart of the person who wrote the lyric and who wrote the music is. Because, guys, I'm telling you, the CCM, Contemporary Christian Music, like on 106.9, his radio and so forth, you've got to watch these people, guys, because a lot of these people, they will do one gig and they will play Christian music. And then on the flip side, when they're not doing Christian music, many of them will go out and they will play inside of the rock and roll bands. Or they will be the opening band that will play before some secular band. Also, many of these people are getting into the sodomite culture. Many of them are coming out of the closet and saying that they've been gay for 10 years or more. So then I have a person who's practicing secretly sodomy, and they've wrote all these lyrics and all these songs and all this music and all these words that has impacted so many people out here. You know what I call that? I call that a lack of spiritual discernment. Because the Bible calls sodomy an abomination, and you cannot say that a practicing sodomite was moved by the Spirit of God to write these lyrics and to write that song in praise of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that those people like that don't even have God in their minds. They do not retain them in their knowledge. But people don't like to teach or preach on this because people get so up in arms about music. I don't care what you like or what you don't like. The Bible has a standard that we are supposed to go by. And if we don't like that, well, there is hundreds of churches out there that will let anybody come up and play music, anybody come up and sing song. And guess who says nothing about it? The preachers. Because they've got a praise and worship leader, a praise and worship pastor, and the preacher, the pastor of the church, don't have nothing to do with that. I'm sorry. That ain't the way it works biblically. That ain't the way it works here. Because I am the under-shepherd of this church and I am going to be held accountable for all of you. You see, people don't like that. That's one reason why they're forgetting God. I mean, think about how many songs you know. I mean, you can turn on the music dial at any moment. Guys, trust me, I went from country music when I was in high school growing up. I went over to his radio, then his radio got too rocky for me. And then I went over to 91.1, then I went to the light. And back and forth like a pendulum, to where I can find good Bible teaching and so forth, back and forth. Now here's the thing. How many songs, the tune come on, can you sing from your heart? Versus how many Bible verses can you quote from your heart? Where's our priority? The spineless pastors. They won't preach repentance. They don't preach separation from the world. And that is resulting in many people in the church forgetting God. Because you've got so much emphasis on everything and anything, all the programs, all the music, all this, all that, everybody else, all this, and praising everybody. But then when it comes to the Word of God, that which we have traditionally as Christians went to always and foremost, what's happened? He gets 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to preach, and then half the time it turns into story time. You can see this. You know this. That's why a lot of people don't like to come here. Because it's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word. Oh, that's boring. God, this is what's going to be the difference between you losing your mind and not. Why? Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time. Number two, another thing that's causing people to forget God is blind parents. Blind parents. Well, my son, my daughter in church. What kind of church is it? What are they getting? It can be a good church. But then you've got a bad egg over there in the youth group. I'll get to that here in just a minute. Parents, let me warn you, caution you, just because you have your child and your family at church does not guarantee them safety from the world, from the flesh, from the devil, or from falling away. Because how many times have you been here and I've been here and we've been hearing the message and suddenly our minds drift away and we zone everything out. I cannot begin to tell you how many sermons I sat through under Preacher Riddle and I zoned myself out and didn't hear a word that that man said, and I didn't hear a word out of the Bible. It looked like I was. I played along like I was. But I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be somewhere else because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Because I wasn't filled with the Spirit. I was filled with the Spirit of me. There were times I laid out of church. Why? Because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to go and obey God. He said, "You? Yes, me." But see, parents have a responsibility before God. If you bring children into this world, it is your duty and your responsibility to train them, your duty, to train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to raise them according to the precepts of the Word of God, so that when they are old, they will not depart from them. That doesn't mean you throw the child off in DBS and you do nothing about the Bible with them ever. And think, well, they got DBS, it'll be alright. No. That means you bring them to church, you take them to Vacation Bible School, get them into that Word. Have family altar. Because guys, that's what's going to stick. That's going to form their character. If you and I, if we don't, guess who's going to shape them? Their little friends. Their school. Anybody and everybody but. How many times when you were young and I, how many times did we hear our parents say one thing and we said, no, that's not right. And then one of our buddies said the same thing and we agreed with them. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. That means respect them. And you know what the biblical age of a child is? It's from conception to 20 years old. 20. Not 10, not 12, but 20. Now, I don't care if you're 19 and a half years old and you're still at home with mom and daddy. If mom and daddy lay down the law, you obey them. I don't want to come back home at 10 o'clock. Oh, well, tough turkey. You obey your parents. Not as Mark Twain said, always obey your parents when they are present. No, you obey your parents, period. That's what thus saith the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, 1. Children, obey thy parents. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord, for this is fitting and just, fitting and good. And guys, the problem with many parents is they're blind. They go to church, they think their kids are okay, but then they don't do anything with the child, with the children, biblically, anything with them. They're too tired, they're too worn out, they're too this, they want somebody else to take care of them, nobody else, they don't want to. But they are your gift, listen, very well, they are your gift from God. They're not a curse, they're not a mistake. And God forbid anyone tell their child, you were a mistake. We didn't mean to have you. Shame on you! God forgive you! Because God has a plan and a purpose for that child. Regardless of how they are conceived. Listen again. Regardless of how they are conceived. Notice where I'm standing behind the pulpit. If a woman is raped and then she has that child, how many people say, well, you better abort the baby. Why? Why is there a life in that womb to begin with? God allowed it to be there, did He not? Well, that's terrible that they're raped. Yes, it is terrible. It's a heinous sin. Back from behind the pulpit, I believe any man that rapes another woman, he should be castrated and hung up by his thumb. And then, well, we can go on anyway. But to take away that child that God has put in that womb. That rapist didn't put the child in the womb. God allowed that child to be put in the womb. Who are we to play God? What are you going to do? You're going to cover up some wicked, heinous victimization of a sin? Not that woman sinned, but the man sinned there. Are we going to cover that up with a murder? Because we got to remember, God, who is in charge of life. God is in charge of life. Not us. We get so high and cotton picking mighty, we think we're in charge. No, no. We're not in charge. God is. Regardless of how they are conceived, they are a gift from God. And when they are born into our families as Christians, we are to raise them and train them. We are. Who did he say in the Old Testament? Parents, you talk about the Word with your children when they get up and when they go to bed, from your down sittings and uprisings and all of that. Parents are. You say, well, what in the world do we have churches for? We are to help you, not replace you. How many churches have seen that happen over the past 50 years? Mom and Dad, I don't want to go to church. So they send the bus, they send the van, and they pick the kids up. That's a wonderful ministry. But Mom and Dad don't go. That is bad too. Because they don't want to go to church, they skip church. And what is that telling little Johnny and little Susie? Well, I have to go to church, but when I get older, I don't have to go to church. I am no more a mechanic when I stand in Chris's shop or even go to where Eduardo is. When I step inside the shop and boom, I magically turn into a mechanic. No. It don't work that way. And neither does it work that way just because you're here and our children are here, that they're magically or they're going to automatically absorb everything they read and see and hear. That's why it's important, guys, for mom and dad to be in the loop, not be blind, so then that they can talk to little Johnny and little Susie and say, okay, what'd you learn about? What'd you learn about in Awana tonight? What'd you learn about in Sunday school? What'd you learn about from the pastor's sermon? And engage them. But if you don't know what's being taught about, how are you going to engage your children? Huh? Number three, compromising youth leaders. Compromising youth leaders. This is another reason why God is forgotten. A lot of people go inside of a youth group, they go inside of some youth event, and then there's the youth leader over there, and they're bringing in the NIV, they're bringing in rock music, they're bringing in something that is supposedly Christian. But you remember what the Bible says. Try every spirit to see whether it be of God. I remember one time I was in high school and me and one of my buddies, Kevin Bailey, there was a Christian concert supposed to be at Chase High School. I said, hey, Kev, let's go down there, Dad. He said, okay. We got inside that room, that auditorium, and there was this band out there. I think it's called Skillet. My eardrums were bleeding. You wonder why I can't hear good? I said, can you feel the Spirit moving? What? Can you feel the Spirit? No! I said, let's go! God, I've been to several youth groups when I was growing up. And many times, you'll have this little old bitty Bible story, Jonah and the whale. And they don't even get half that done. And then they're going to go out and do everything else. They'll plan car washes. They'll plan mission trips. They'll plan this. They'll plan that. They'll do pizza parties. They'll do anything else. Skating parties. Skating this. Going to Chuck E. Cheese's. Whatever it may be. And there's all this emphasis on fun, but where's the emphasis on the Word? There's nothing wrong having a good time, but you better make sure you get the anchor of the soul in there, because that's when their hearts are open. That's when their minds are open. And they need that Word of God. They need that anchor. Because some of these young men are going to turn into teenagers by the time you blink. And then where's that anchor at? If you'll judge the amount of most youth groups today, you'll find that anything and everything but God and the Word will outweigh that. So does that show you why then in Christian churches, when our youth get into the first year of college, 85% of them are leaving the faith. So if you've got a church youth group of 60, within 10 years it'll turn into 9. 9 who stay with the church. You know why? Because we got spineless preachers, we got blind parents, and we got compromising youth leaders. But then what else do we got? Number 4. Lying teachers. From kindergarten all the way through college. And then up there in Washington, D.C. District of Corruption. I mean Columbia. You know, they make our teachers be part of the NEA. That's the Communist Socialist Front that believes in evolution, and they frown on Christians. Our children go in right at the get-go in kindergarten, and they're told that dinosaurs went extinct millions and billions of years ago. The little books for our children, they say, no one has ever seen a dinosaur. Did they talk to Job? Did they talk to Adam? Did they talk to the Bushmen over in the Congo? Did they talk to about Mukele Mbembe? Did they talk to the cowboy that shot the pterodactyl in the 1870s? No. But you've got a bunch of lying teachers out there. Even now inside of kindergarten, they're even talking about to our children, two mommies and two daddies. Now in Charlotte, they just voted to create unisex bathrooms in the city of Charlotte. So that if you don't know what you are, you can pick whatever one you want to go in. So imagine you're a woman in there and here walks in a man. Oh, that's fine! Because you don't know what you are. Parents today are even being told, do not name your child until your child is 5 years old. So then they can pick whether they're a boy or a girl. I'm sorry. God made woman and He made man. He makes them. Whether you got a doolally or not, God makes it that way. Well, I don't know who I like. Well, you... You need to get in God. You need to get in this altar and dig. Our children are many times, they are so confused. You know why a lot of it is? It's because of the teachers and it's because of the culture. Guys, I was in second grade and we had a Halloween. And our teacher said, dress up however you want to. My buddy Kevin shows up. I was in third grade. He was in second grade. He was in this trailer. And we had about 6 of us over here in the third grade. And the rest of the poor shops, they were in second grade. And here comes Kevin in a dress and a hat and a parasol and a pocketbook. Before class even starts, Max, I yell out, he's an abomination! Everybody looked at me. This witness said, what are you doing? I said, it's in the Bible. He's an abomination. He looked at me. He's about ready to get that pocketbook and wallop me. I said, see, you're already getting effeminate. You're getting girly-fied. You're going to fight me with a pocketbook and not with your dukes? Come on, boy. No, when women are praised that they are masculine and men are praised that they're effeminate, we got something wrong in this culture. We got something wrong in this country. Men don't need to wear dresses. They don't need to let their hair grow long and have that because that long hair pertaineth unto a woman. Because when they see this stuff going on, the children don't know what to think. And we wonder why the poor things are getting confused. Because a lot of these people in the school... Now, I'm not saying every teacher out there is out for your child's soul to sell it to Satan. I'm not saying that. We have many Christians inside the public school system still. Thank God they're there, being sought in life. But the vast overwhelming majority... Guys, you've got to remember what the school is now, not what it used to be back when it was the one-room schoolhouse. When it was the one-room schoolhouse, they actually had the old blue back speller and they taught the children how to read. You know why they taught them how to read?
so they can learn how to read the Bible. That's why the school system was established in America. And it was established up north. Because the Yankees said they need to learn how to read the Bible. And they didn't have blueback spellers in the 16 and 1700. You know what the reading book was? The King James Cotton Picking Bible.
Oh, it's too hard to understand.
No. It's easy to understand if you had the Holy Ghost of God. Now, we need to pray for these spineless preachers. We need to pray for the blind parents. We need to pray for the compromising youth leader. We need to pray for the lying teacher. But then, the big, big, big final group that influences, that is causing a forgotten God, is not even sometimes any of those groups that I've already mentioned. But it is the corrupted friends. Last night, I watched as Nevada held the Republican caucus. And as I have studied politics and I read about the primary that we have in North Carolina versus the caucus, I find that it takes guts to vote in a caucus. Because you may go there and you're going to cast your vote for candidate A. But you walk inside of the caucus room and now there's 50 people for candidate B and there's 100 people for candidate C. And there's 5, like you, that want candidate A. So you go stand over here with your little bitty group for candidate A. He's not viable. So now candidate B and C people are going to come over there and they're going to start politicking. They're going to start pitching their candidate to get you to change your vote. So when you go caucus, you're under peer pressure. Peer pressure. Anybody know anything about peer pressure? Ask anyone who smokes or has smoked. And they'll tell you why they started smoking. Because my friends were. Because everybody else was doing it. Take that child growing up in church, now they're with these little friends, and suddenly the friends say, hey, we want to play hooky. We want to skip school. Okay, I'm going to go where my friends are. Oh, hey, we're going to take a snort of this over here. We're going to take a shot of this over here. You want some? There's the peer pressure. My buddies are doing it. No, I don't want to. Ah, you're washed up. You're a square. You're no fun. You don't belong with our group. Oh, I want to fit in with your group, please. Give me whatever it is you're doing. My mom and daddy beat the Bible into my head lovingly. I'm not saying they beat it in. I'm just using that. Anyway, they taught me the Bible. They taught me right from wrong. And my mama, bless her soul, she told me, she said, don't you ever touch a Ouija board. Don't mess with it. It's demonic. Don't mess with it, boy. So I go to a Halloween party. All my buddies are there. They bring out the Ouija board. Come on, Craig. Come on, play. No. Why not? Well, my mama. Ah, mama's boy, mama's boy, mama's boy. No. She said not to. You weenie. You're scared. I'm not scared. I don't need to do it. No. They kept on and kept on and kept on. And finally I said, okay. What she don't know won't hurt her. I didn't hear the doorbell. I didn't hear the knock at the door. Here I am. I'm playing with that thing. I got my hands on it. And there comes Mama. She's standing there right in the doorway. I don't even know she's there. Why'd it get so quiet in here? Ah! Now, peer pressure, corrupted friends. If your parents love you, they train you in the Word of God, they bring you to church, they do everything they can, and then you get out here with these knotheads that are telling you to go against what the Bible says, go against what mom and daddy says, and you know it's wrong. You know that ain't right. You know that's a sin. You know that is wrong. Why do it? Because of peer pressure. And that is something right there that's causing a lot of our youth to fall away from the faith and to forget God. Is their buddies, their friends that they're hanging around. Now, am I saying that we should never have friends? No, I'm not saying that. All of you are my friends. But be careful who your friends are. Because one day you'll find out who your real friends are. They will say they're your friend, but when something happens, when something goes wrong, pew! And it really gets bad in high school. And say, oh yeah, what is the modern phrase? BFF. We're best friends forever. And they say, oh yeah, we'll stay in touch forever. I'll be lucky if I get to talk to one of my 10 friends I had in high school in person. And the last time I did that was at the funeral of his mother. And this was my best friend growing up. He came out of the closet and everything else. He said, well, I guess this is the last time we'll ever talk. I said, why? He said, I know how you feel about queers. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, no. He said, yeah. I said, no. I said, your lifestyle is wrong. I said, but I love and care for you as my friend. I don't care how you are, what you are. That will never change our friendship. I said, I always want you to remember that. On his birthday, I sent him a gift, a little card or something. And when his mama died, I knew exactly where he was standing. And I went over there and gave him a big old hug. And I said, man, it's been too long. But what's he done? He went to those corrupting friends. Just like Lot. Lot left Uncle Abe and went out there with Sodom and Gomorrah. So you be careful who your friends are. Because if they're into everything but God, anything but God, I'd write them off if I were you. And I'd get me some Christian friends. Oh, these like to tell dirty jokes. Well, let them play in the mud hole. You didn't learn that with Jesus. Oh, they like looking at dirty pictures. Well, you let them go burn their eyeballs out and break their heart into a million pieces. So they don't have nothing left to give their wife when they get married. You go and you be a good boy and you go and learn Jesus. You learn to love Jesus. And not some filth out there. I'm telling you folks, corrupted friends are one of the things that's killing our youth and is killing our churches and is killing our Christianity in this country. Because what did the Bible say? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So if we're trying it when we're young, they're going to keep on when they're older, and then they're going to bring it into the church. They've forgotten God. They still did their incense, but God says He wasn't in it. And then they went so far as to get away from the old paths. Why? Because they forgot God. Don't you forget God. Because I'll tell you right now, God has never forgotten you. Even though we have been guilty at times of forgetting Him. May God forgive us. And so folks, with that said, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes.